We turn in our Bibles to Genesis. We're going to begin our reading in chapter 49 and read through chapter 50, verse 21. Lord willing, we'll have one more sermon yet on this series of sermons on Joseph. Chapter 49, beginning our reading at verse 28, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this it is that their father spake unto them and blessed them, every one according to his blessing he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah and his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the land and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for them, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. When the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die, in my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up, bury thy father according as he has made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went all the servants of the Pharaoh, the elders of the house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph, and his brethren, and his father's house. Only their little ones, and their flocks, and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and a sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it was called Avel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did to him according as he commanded them, for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abram bought with a field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that had went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? For as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it were, this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. So far the reading of God's Word, our text, for the verses 17 and following. The question or the request of verse 17, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, our text and the answer that Joseph gives to his brothers are after Father Jacob had died. Why is that significant? 17 years had taken place already that Jacob and his family were in Egypt. 17 years Joseph had cared for Jacob and his brothers in the land of Egypt. 17 years. But after these 17 years, these brothers are still afraid. What will happen to us? What is Joseph's attitude to us? What is Joseph going to do to us? And so they send a messenger to their brother with the words, how will Joseph respond? Will he turn us away? Will he be angry? Will he avenge himself finally for all the grievous evil done to him? They feared. My theme in these verses is forgiveness affirmed. Joseph affirms the forgiveness that he has for his brothers and their evil. Forgiveness affirmed, notice with me, the question of the brothers, the answer of Joseph, and thirdly, the reasons that Joseph gives why they need not fear. They are afraid. We see fear quite often in the Bible, don't we? When saints would see an angel, right away the angel would say, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy. One is afraid when one sees God, for he is full of goodness and glory, and who are we? Wicked, vile men. So Isaiah was afraid after he had seen God.
these brothers are afraid. They're afraid because their father has died, and they believe in their hearts that it was for their father's sake, and their father's sake alone, that Joseph had dealt kindly with them. It's for their father's sake that Joseph hasn't put his hands around their necks and wringed them like a chicken's head. Why? Why would they think this of their brother Joseph? Well, they know their own sinful hearts, don't they? Yes, out of the sinful heart, there is that sinful desire to want to get even with someone that hurts us. Oh no, that's putting it too kindly. We don't only want to get even with them. We want to inflict greater pain upon someone that hurts us. If they say a vile word against us, we want to reply with a few words against them. Or what a classic example we have heard, we have seen just this past week of that desire for revenge, where the young man in California thought himself scorned by others. And for 3 years he plots how he's going to get his vengeance. And shoots, I believe it's six different young people before he himself was shot. Get even. No, not only even. Not only a pound for a pound. Not just one word for one word. Not just one action. Vengeance. Joseph surely was in a position to do that in Egypt, wasn't he? He is the governor over the whole land. Everything is at his disposal. Now that Daddy has died, oh yes, he could do anything to these brothers. These brothers who hated him, these brothers who sold him, that got rid of the dreamer with his dream. And so we find in our pericope, they send a messenger to their brother Joseph. They send a messenger. All the brothers are filled with this fear and guilt. They send a messenger. Judah doesn't come to speak. It is odd, perhaps. Reuben does not come to speak. He's the oldest brother. And it was he who didn't want to hurt Joseph really at all. He was hoping to set him free. It was not Judah who comes to speak, and Judah quite often had been the spokesman, hadn't he? It is Judah who said, "Let's sell him to these Midianites, and we're rid of him." It is Judah who pled with his father that Benjamin might come along and he would safeguard him for the sake of getting food for the family. It was Judah who made that very beautiful, passionate plea that he was willing to submit himself, give himself, substitute himself for Benjamin. What love Judah had for his father, because he says it would break my father's heart. What love he had for his youngest brother Benjamin, one of those two children of the wife of Rachel. So beautiful is that confession of Judah, that there are those who consider him, because of his willingness to submit himself or substitute himself, as a type of Christ. But none of those brothers, not even Judah, dare come now to Joseph, their brother, of Seir. They had been restored, but they do not come, but they send a messenger. They still treat him and they look at him as that ruler of Egypt. so they sent a messenger to him. And what is their request? Verse 17. They claimed that it was the command of Jacob that Joseph forgive them. Verse 16, thy father did command before he died, saying, go to him and forgive your brother. Well, we're not there. But true or not, I doubt it. Hardly would Jacob have ordered his children to come with a command to Joseph. Joseph was in the company of his father during those 17 years, off and on, and he was there on his dying bed as he blessed all the brothers. There was plenty of opportunity for old Jacob himself to tell Joseph, now you forgive your brother. They don't dare to ask for forgiveness for their own sakes. They don't deserve it. So what they're really saying in that thing in verse 16 is, forgive us for your father's sake. That's what your father commands you to do. They come through a messenger. Because they are dealing with the guilt of what they have done to their brother. A guilt that has weighed in their hearts and their souls for some 17 years now. No, not just 17 years. But for all the years when Joseph was down in Egypt and they were back home lying to their father or letting their father believe a lie that a wild beast had eaten his beloved son. Guilt. Guilt weighing them down. They come in fear to Joseph because they judge Joseph by their own hearts, by themselves, as they loathe that Joseph, as they couldn't stand that younger brother who dreamed those dreams and was dressed in that beautiful coat the father favored him with. As their hearts had been so full of hate and envy, they judged Joseph's heart accordingly. He must be just like us. Oh, I bet he wants to get his hands on us. Theirs is an irrational fear. It's a real fear, but it's an irrational fear. For 17 years, hadn't Joseph cared for them and shown them forgiveness? There had been peace in the family. There they had just gone back to the land of Canaan and buried their father, and there was unity in the family, and now they get back into Egypt, and they're afraid. The fear that we often have, the guilt that we have, what's wrong? It's real. It's real. So the brothers come to Joseph in verse 17. First of all, claiming these are the words of our father. Forgive the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, what they did unto thee evil. And now comes their message. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of the God of thy father. These brothers are confessing their sin, their trespasses. While earlier they spoke about these things amongst each other, Never openly did they make a confession to Joseph, and perhaps that also is in here, weighing them down with guilt. They confess their evil. They use two different words for sin. Twice we read trespass. One time they use the word sin, and the other time they use the word evil. They are talking about the immensity of their sin. The one word means our debt, the debt that we owe unto thee. We have hurt thee. The other word means we've missed the mark. We've missed our calling. We deliberately went against it. We had the dreams and we didn't want the dreams. Evil. And now they come in that verse twice over, they say, forgive us. They want that forgiveness affirmed. A forgiveness that was clearly shown to them when Joseph invited them into their home and fed them as his guests, when he commanded them to come out of the land of Canaan down to Egypt and he would give them the best in the land. Surely that forgiveness was there, but they need that forgiveness affirmed again to them. Forgive us. These are beautiful words. Notice especially the end of verse 17. Forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. They hadn't always lived as servants of the God of their father. They were a naughty bunch. They were often up in the mischief, and they surely resented the fact that Joseph would come from daddy and he would see what's going on and he would report to daddy again what they're doing. Not that they did much mischief. Now, in their older age, they make a beautiful picture. We are servants of my father, Jacob. What they're claiming here is that they are members of the covenant family. They are children of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob. They stand in that special people of God that he has chosen for his possession. Forgive the trespass of us believers. For we have sinned against you. That was a real need for them. As it's a real need for the covenant family, the Church of Jesus Christ of today, Israel. We said it was irrational. For 17 years they had seen the love and the care of Joseph for them. Why would they think that he wanted to avenge himself, that he hadn't forgiven them? The child of God, you and I, we have known the love, the kindness, the care of Jesus Christ. Many of us, all of our lives, we know that love. We've experienced that love. And yet, guilt causes us at times to wonder, am I saved? Am I a child of God? Does God love me? So the psalmist cries out, sins of youth, remember not. How often don't sins in the past continue to haunt us, even though we've confessed them and we've been forgiven? We need that affirmation of forgiveness by our elder brother, Jesus Christ. And how he gives it. How he gives it in the preaching of the gospel from week to week. That's what makes the gospel so precious to us, isn't it? Yes, the gospel comes and says, you're sinners, you're awful, miserable sinners, but look to the cross of Jesus Christ. He bled and he died for all your sins. We are affirmed of forgiveness every Sabbath day in the worship service, in the preaching of the Lord. And at the sacraments, when the water is poured over or dribbled over the head of the child, or later on the cult as they come to faith, our sins, though they are many, are washed away like water washes away dirt on the head. When the other sacrament, the Lord's table, take, eat, drink, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken unto a complete remission of all our sins. So what these brothers, what this covenant of the family of Jacob needs isn't unlike what you and I as children of God need continually. The forgiveness of our sins affirmed to us. Though we are red like crimson, we are made whiter than snow. That our sins, all of our sins, are removed from us as far as east is removed from west and will not be held against us. Oh, how we need from God, how we need from His Son, Jesus Christ, that affirmation over and over and over. And what about others who might have hurt us? Do we give that affirmation to them? When boys and girls in the home sin against their parents, they do some really foolish and wicked things, and they're forgiven, but the guilt at times weighs them down. As they grow older, they think of the grief they've given to the parents and the gray hair, and they're sorry. There's times as parents we need to affirm again those sins are forgiven. Or brothers and sisters to one another in the family, or husbands and wives in their marriages. We forgive, but we need at times to affirm that forgiveness again and again, so that sins in the past don't come back and haunt and bite us and fill us with guilt. Isn't that true in the congregation that in the family of God that we gather together? We do hurt one another at times. We bite one another. We slander one another. And yes, forgiveness is given in the way of confession, but at times it's guilt and hurt and we don't look at the person, we avoid them perhaps. But rather we affirm over and over those things in the past. Look at you. That's the need of these brothers. That is the question of these brothers. Forgive us. Oh, forgive us. For the trespasses, for the sin, for the evil that we have done against thee. And now behold the answer of Joseph. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. Fear not. Yes, he knows there's fear there. He sees the guilt that is hurting these brothers. They're hurting inside because of the pain they caused them. when this servant or the messenger comes with these words, we read at the end of verse 17, Joseph wept. Joseph wept when these brothers, through the messenger, spake unto him. And Joseph wept when the brothers themselves come to speak to him. He weeps. He weeps again. Why do you fear? Beautiful tears. Because he sees that these brothers view him merely as an authority figure in the land and not as a brother. Because he loves them. He has forgiven them. In his view, that relationship has been restored. That sin was removed. He does not hold it against them. How do you view Jesus Christ? Do you view him merely as the authority figure that we might have sinned against and who he might get after us with a stick? Or do you view him as your brother? The only begotten Son of God, we are adopted sons of God. He is our elder brother who loves us. How do you view your God? How do you view his Christ? We are members of the covenant family. Yes, Jesus Christ is Lord, ruler over all things. God has set him over all things in the heavens. He is your sympathetic high priest. He is your brother who loves you, who has forgiven you. Lord, you're kindly with us. Fear not, he says. He says it twice over, doesn't he? He knows their hurt, their guilt, their fear. Verse 19, fear not, for am I in the place of God? And again, verse 21, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. Fear not. He's forgiven them completely. He does not hold grudges. He has not in the past held those grudges. Oh, he knew affliction, and he talks about that. We'll talk about that later on. But he loves his brothers. How he wept when he saw them come together in the room. He had to turn away from them. He weeps again. So that in verse 21, we read the end of that verse, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Isn't that the gospel that we hear? Our God in Christ Jesus comforts us, speaks kindly to us. Think of the word of God that came to the people of Israel in Isaiah's day. Sinful. In fact, they were going to go into banishment down there in Babylon. What is the word of the gospel? Comfort you. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. The devotions we just read today from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and in that one chapter, in the first couple verses, a long sentence and over and over again, that we may comfort one another, a comfort that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ comes to walks in the preaching of the gospel. He comes in the sacraments. He comes by His Holy Spirit. And He says, fear not. Your sins, though they are many, are blotted out. They are washed away. Take a moment of that woman who was caught in adultery. And the rules in Israel at that time that such a person should be stoned. What do you think, Pastor? Jesus Christ, we have sinned against Him again and again and again, grievously. We've missed the mark of bringing glory to His name. We have added to our debts, and oh, the guilt that weighs upon us. And what are the first words of our God? Through Christ Jesus, and said, oh, how the Lord Jesus, through the word preached, affirms our sins are forgiven. How He comforts us. One cannot help but when one reads the end of verse 21, and He, that is Joseph, comforted them and spake kindly unto them. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, what He does every Sabbath day in the gospel. My children, my brothers and sisters in God, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the King. Great things are expected for you. Nourish continually the green pastures of the Word. Words of comfort and kindness. Every day, as we read the Scriptures, every Sunday when we hear the gospel preached, forgiveness affirmed. And what about in our families? And what about in the congregation? When hardly one dares to look at the person in the family that you have sinned against, spoken harshly to. Parents, do you take the little ones on your knees, your hands around them, and affirm they have nothing to fear, to love them, And when those young boys and girls turn into young people and young adults, and the sins of when they are young become greater sins when they're older, you still wrap your arms around them and let them know they're forgiven, that you love them, that you care for them. And when fellow saints in the church hurt you at times, and they will because the congregation is made up of redeemed sinners, and the sinners often very open, legal words are said, deeds are done. Are we standoffish? Are they afraid to get near us because of what they've done in the past? Do we affirm to them through the past? For we're all followers. We all sin in thought, word, and deed. And we together stand underneath the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. outside the church. Not retaliation. Wait for the judgment day for that. Vengeance is mine, says God. Now take a moment of Joseph's question. Fear not, for am I God? The man says, no, he's not. Vengeance doesn't belong to him. Jesus Christ is God. We have sinned and we continue to sin against our Lord Jesus Christ. Thoughts, words, deeds. He is God. Vengeance does belong to Him. But here's the gospel.
He doesn't avenge His fellow brothers and sisters, the saints and church. He shows mercy, kindness, speak kind words. What an incentive for us to come then to Christ Jesus. Joseph is not God. You and I are not God. Christ is not. He is not. Instead, he said, here I am. Father, visit their sins. Avenge their sins on me. And probably Christ. That's the gospel, the precious gospel we preach to the hearer. But there's a second reason. Joseph says, fear not. Verse 10. And as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant you unto good. He thought evil against me. Notice Joseph does not minimize what they have done. He doesn't say to them, oh, it was nothing. Oh, that was a long time ago. I didn't even think about it anymore. That'd be a lie. But when he died, Joseph had two sons. He names them Manasseh and Ephraim, for he talks about forgetting the affliction, the pain that he bore when he was younger and that of his family. He says, I've forgotten those. And for the second born, he says, for thou hast helped me in the afflictions in the land. No, he doesn't pretend that it wasn't there. Pain from those who were closest to him, that was totally and unjust. Things that they did to him. He reached me. What did he say? God meant it. In our English Bible, we really don't text as we ought to be parallelism. The very same word is used. You planned it for evil. God planned it for good. You intended it for evil. God intended it for good. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. That's the parable. It's so bad. People attempted, they wanted to get it back. Dreamer. God meant it for that. This hurt. God permits those evil things. He doesn't will it, but he permits it. That's
That's not the testimony of the Scriptures. God planned it. God intended it. God meant those things. Will come for good. That's the testimony of the Scriptures. God working all things. Whether you go back right to the beginning of history in Adam and Eve, God not merely permitted Adam and Eve to fall into sin. God willed their fall into sin so that through the way of sin there is grace, there is given another Adam as they have to save us. God meant it so that from this earth, with its paradise, there's a greater, a new heaven than a new earth for us. God did not merely permit the religious leaders and the Roman soldiers to put Jesus to death on the cross. God willed. They meant it for evil, to get rid of the Savior. God meant it for good, for Jesus Christ on the cross is your and my salvation. It doesn't make the action of these brothers good. It was evil. God works all things for good. So we need to ask, well, what is that good? And Joseph says here, to save much people alive. To save much people alive. What does it mean? That does not merely refer to God's providence so that in the famine there would be plenty of nourishment for God's people and for the Egyptians and those from other countries. Does not mean only that providence, yes. God believes to provide nourishment for all the earth at that time in that area, and especially for his people. There's something more. To save much people alive. God's covenant people. There had to be this famine. And Jacob's family had to come down to Egypt. Because back there in Canaan, they were affiliating with the Canaanites. And soon they'd be swallowed up with the Canaanites. And God takes them away through them in order to preserve them, to save a people alive, separated from the heathen up there in Goshen, but nourished well so that the church grows in great numbers. Knows that it's riches, it's life. There's something more. God does all this. They meant it for evil, God meant it for good, because God is looking for a greater type here. The people are going to be in the land of Egypt, which is a type, a picture of our bondage in sin. And out of the bondage to sin, God is going to redeem us with Moses, with Christ. So that type of being in Egypt and coming out of Egypt through the Red Sea is a type of your and my salvation. Do that to gospel. We may know of our great salvation through our Lord. Be affirmed by the gospel. Our sins, though they are many, though they are grievous, are forgiven. Fear not, God works all things for good in our life, even those pitfalls that we fell into. Hopefully we learn from them, the more than that we learn from forgiveness, the great forgiveness of God. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for Joseph, who spoke kindly to those brothers who sinned and did great evil against him. We thank thee, Father, for the great forgiveness that we experience in the Lord Jesus Christ. fight, though we sin and do grievous evil against him, in the gospel preached, in the sacraments presented before us, all our sins, there is a great remission for them. Teach us, O Lord, as thou hast forgiven us, so also to forgive one another. Thank you.